an amazing parasha that we've heard probably many, many times, and the story of, I don't know how any man today would work 6 years for a wife, let alone 12 years or 20 years. It just doesn't happen. I can't even last together that long, let alone wait that long to get married. So what I'm going to do today, what I'd like to also say is it's really wonderful to see our young people reading the Word. And if you've noticed that set of young people sit up here for the parasha readings, and they're now going off and they're going to discuss it between themselves, because they're getting a bit too old for what's going on in the children's room. But they don't want to be here the whole time. It's like a transitioning time. And they're free, because they're all 13 or over, and they're all free to read the parasha readings. And so that's what they're doing at the moment. And I think that's really wonderful for them. Well, you've got me again this week, purely and simply because I actually rang Minister Sean on Monday and said, I'll do the message again this week so we're not out of sync, because we've got a schedule for the whole year made up. And because he was away last week and was supposed to speak, I said, no, I'll do my normal one this week and then we'll just get back into sync again. And he wanted to do it. But it just so happens that he rang me this morning to say he was sick. So yeah, I knew. So I'm going to speak this today on the spirit of Philip out of the scripture we read from Jochanan. And you probably, most people would always speak about Nathanael, but I'm changing it today. I'm going to speak on the spirit of, we all know that Nathanael or Nathaniel was without guile and he was a very open man, but would you never hear much on the spirit of Philip? So I wanted to speak on that today. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for the words you've given me. I pray that you'll open the hearts and the minds of those that are about to hear it. And Abba, you know my heart in what I'm bringing. And I just pray that you'll just be with me and with all those that hear it. In Yeshua's name, amen. So I want to start from Jochanan 1:43-46, if I may. The next day, having decided to leave the Galilee, Yeshua found Philip and said, follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Cephas lived. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one that Moshe wrote about in the Torah, also the prophets. It's Yeshua ben Yosef from Nazareth. Nathanael answered him, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Come and see, Philip said to him. Now, according to Harper's Bible Dictionary, Nazareth was an insignificant agricultural village not far from a major trade route to Egypt called the Via Maris. It's not mentioned in the Tanakh. It's not mentioned in Josephus' writing or in rabbinic writings. It's not actually on the trade route. Nazareth was a place that had been passed by. It was not noticed. It was like it was insignificant. And this is why Nathanael said, can anything good come from Nazareth? Today, if you've been there, you'll find two Nazareth villages. Nazareth, the one that Yeshua lived in, was on a high hill. They call them mountains there, but they're high hills. And there's a Nazareth at the bottom of the hill. The Nazareth at the bottom of the hill is where all the Arabs live, but the Nazareth at the top of the hill is where all the Jewish people live. And Yeshua came from the one at the top. I remember it well, purely and simply because when I was there, I probably opened my mouth when I shouldn't have. We were at an intersection and crossing the road, and as we were crossing the road, this Arab child was throwing stones at the cars. And as I crossed the road and saw it, I just looked at the child and said, "Do you think you should be doing that?" I could have got the stone thrown at me, but it just came out. And the child stopped, put the stone away. And I went on walking. But I'll never forget it, because it was probably something I shouldn't have done, but Yah protected me. But I couldn't help myself. I was being a nut and nail at the time. So normally we see this verse, and I've done it as well before, that they've looked at Nathanael, which means Elohim gives. And it was a man without guile, or in other words, a man who was very honest, and what you saw was what you got. So today we're going to concentrate on Philip instead. Philip was the first. He was the first Talmud to follow Yeshua. In fact, Philip was not just the first man that to follow Yeshua, but he was the first man that Yeshua, the scriptures say that Yeshua found Philip. So he obviously looked for Philip to find him. There was something in Philip that Yeshua wanted. So he went forth into the Galilee and he found Philip. The other disciples or Talmudim, such as Kepha, came to Yeshua or were brought to Yeshua by other Talmudim. So even though Philip was sought after by Yeshua, Philip was an ordinary man. He was just like any one of you men sitting here today. But there was something in Philip that Yeshua saw. It was a trait or characteristic of Philip's nature that caused Yeshua to go and get him. How would you feel if you were in an area and Yeshua came up to you and says, "You're the one I want," or "You're the one I want, okay, come follow me"? What an amazing feeling that would be. So the spirit or the ruach that was on Philip at the time observed the call to follow Yeshua. But not only did he follow, but then Philip goes and finds Nathanael and tells him about Yeshua. Philip's reaction was, "I will follow you, but I'm going to bring someone with me." Philip did for Nathanael what Yeshua did for him. And that's a pattern that each of us should follow. We need to do for others what Yeshua does for us. Can I go to the next scripture, please? In Yochanan 1:47-50, it says, "Yeshua saw Nathanael coming towards him and remarked about him, 'He's a true son of Israel, nothing false in him.' Nathanael said to him, 'How do you know me?' And Yeshua answered him, 'Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you.' Nathanael says, 'Rabbi, you are the son of Yehovah. You are the king of Israel.' Yeshua answered him, 'You believe all this just because I told you I saw you under a fig tree? You will see greater things than that.'" So Nathanael also had a revelation. It was interesting that Yeshua chose this insignificant location under a fig tree to begin building his team of Talmudim. I believe that Yehovah is trying to help us realize something here, and that is, it doesn't matter where you begin, only where you end that's important. As I've said on many occasions, and I said it last Shabbat, Yah knows the end from the beginning. As one famous playwright stated, entrances are temporary, but exits are eternal. The outpouring of Yehovah's Ruach HaKodesh began in a humble upper room in Yerushalayim. But the ending is going to be greater than the beginning. Can we go to slides 4 to 7, please? I've got 3 slides here to use this scripture. I'm going to go to Luke 4:16-30. Now, when he went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, on Shabbat, he went to the synagogue as usual. This is talking about Yeshua. He stood up to read, and he was given the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place wherein it was written, "The Spirit of the Yehovah is upon me, because he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the imprisoned and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who've been crushed, to proclaim a year of the favour of Yehovah." After closing the scroll and returning it to the Shemash, or the servant, he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He started to speak to them. "Today, as you heard it read, this passage of the Tanakh was fulfilled." Everyone was speaking well of him and marvelling that such an appealing words were coming from his mouth. They were even asking, "Can this be Yosef's son?" Then Yeshua said to them, "No doubt you will quote me in this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' We've heard about all the things that have been going on over in Capernaum. Now do you do them here in your own hometown?" "Yes," he said, "I tell you that no prophet is accepted in his hometown. It's true, I'm telling you. When Eliyahu was in Israel and the sky was sealed off for 3.5 years so that all the land suffered a severe famine, there were many widows. But Eliyahu was sent to none of them, only to the widow in Zarephath in the land of Zidon. Also there were many people with Zarephath in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha, but not one of them was healed, only Naaman the Syrian." On hearing this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and dragged him to the edge of a cliff, because that's where they were. They were on a high hill, the edge of the cliff, where the town was built, intending to throw him off. But he walked right through the middle of the crowd and went away. Yeshua let those at Nazareth know that there were great things in store for that city. Their understanding of who Yeshua really was changed at Nazareth. They thought they knew who he was. We read in verse 22 where it said everyone was speaking well of him and marvelling at such appealing words that were coming from his mouth. They were even asking, "Can this be Yosef's son?" They could only see him as the son of a carpenter. They didn't recognize the significance of what he was saying to them through the scriptures on that Shabbat. Matityahu gives us a slightly different version, naming Yeshua's mother, brothers, and mentioning his sisters. It doesn't tell us how many sisters Yeshua had, but there was obviously more than one, because it is the word in plural. So let's go to slide 8. And it says in Matthew 13:55-58, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother Miriam and his brother Yaakov, Yosef, Shimon and Yehuda? And his sisters, aren't they all with us?" I wonder how many had. I know Jewish families had a lot of boys, but they often had more girls than boys. Being one, I'm a girl, of course, but there were 4 girls to 1 boy. In my father's house, there were 4 boys to 1 girl. In my mother's house, there were 4 girls to 1 boy. So more often than not, there are more girls than boys. You only notice in scripture that the boys are mentioned. And as I've said before, as each of one of us were born, my grandfather would say, "Is it a son or is it a child?" And each one of us girls with a child. But when my brother finally came along, he was the son. So, the sisters, we don't know how many there were. The only thing, sorry, I didn't finish the scripture. So where does this get all this? They took offense at him, but Yeshua said to them, the only place people don't respect a prophet is in his hometown and in his own house. And he did few miracles there because of their lack of trust. And we know that his mother and sisters and brothers didn't approve of what he was doing. The only thing that stopped Yeshua doing the work in the lives of the people of Nazareth was their lack of faith. And this does not have to apply to us. Our knowledge of Yeshua, following him and observing his Torah, is the beginning of great things for each and every one of us. We need to have faith to do as Yeshua commanded us to do. We also need the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit, to be able to do the work that Yeshua did. There was a Ruach on Philip that Yeshua saw, that he went to seek him out, and he found Philip with that Ruach on him and said, come and follow me. And he brought someone with him. Don't be content for following along to Yeshua and to his teachings by yourself. Bring someone with you. I brought both my parents into the kingdom in 1986, and I was blessed that it's hard to bring Jewish people into the kingdom, but I was able to do it. When Yeshua sent his Talmudim, or disciples, or students, whatever you want to call them, Talmudim means there are three of those, he never sent them alone. He always sent them two by two. Yeshua gave them specific instructions in Matthew 10, 6 to 8. The next slide, please. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those afflicted with Zara'at, expel demons. You have received without paying, so give without payment. These are also the gifts of the Ruach that are given to us to do the work which we've been called to do. And I'll go into them in more detail later. Before Philip was given these instructions on what to do to the calling of Yeshua, he was already operating in what was instructed of him, because he immediately took the initiative and went and got Nathanael. He was willing to get someone else to introduce them to Yeshua. Yeshua has commanded that we must be all set apart personally unto him. He has called each one of us personally at a time that was perfect for us to respond. As it says in Luke 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save what was lost. And as I said last week, Yehovah loved us before we loved him. And therefore when he calls us, it's when his timing is perfect. When people come into the kingdom, it's when his timing is perfect. Let us allow the Ruach of Philip to invade our lives so that we can question what to do and how to do it. So let me now show you through scriptures what I mean by the Ruach of Philip. Let's go back to Yochanan chapter 6 verses 5 to 7. So when Yeshua looked up and saw a large crowd was approaching, he said to Philip, where will we be able to buy bread so that these people can eat? Now Yeshua said this to test Philip, for Yeshua knew what he was about to do. But Philip answered, Half a year's wages wouldn't buy enough bread for them. Each one would only get a bite. Yeshua wanted to see what Philip's reaction would be to the need of these hungry people. The other Talmudim told Yeshua to send the people away. But Yeshua was trying to see if Philip would respond to the miracle and be available for the miracle. It was Philip who was the one that had the desire to know Yehovah in a greater way. His ruach or spirit was set apart before the rest of the Talmudim had been set apart. And in Yochanan 14 verses 8 to 9, Philip said to him, Adonai, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. Yeshua replied to him, Have I been with you so long without you knowing me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? This is the ruach within Philip that seems to have compassion and care for people that would have him go beyond the norm. In Yochanan verse 12, verses 20 to 22, it says, Among those who went up to worship at the festival, some Greek-speaking Jews, they approached Philip, the one from Bethsaida in the Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Yeshua. Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Yeshua. Nothing had changed for Philip after he received the Ruach HaKodesh. He was willing to reach those known as outcasts in the community. Sometimes it's hard to reach what people call the outcasts, the street people, and we've got many of them living and residing around where we are at this very moment. Now Philip went down to a city in Shomron and was proclaiming the Messiah to them. And the crowds were paying the close attention to what Philip said, and as they heard and saw the miraculous signs he was doing. Now, when Philip went to Shomron, that's not where Yeshua sent him. Yeshua sent him to the lost sheep of Israel. Shomron went to the Samaritans, because that was the place, which was the group of people that the Jews actually hated. And to give you some background of this hatred, the Samaritans, which is Samarim in Hebrew, call themselves Samarim, while the Hebrew people call them Shomronim. They actually call themselves Samarim, but the Hebrews call them Shomronim. And Shomronim is a derogatory name the Jews use. They are an ethno-religious group of the Levant. They are descended from the ancient Semitic inhabitants of the region. And religiously, the Samarim are adherents of Samaritarianism, an Abrahamic religion closely related to Judaism. Based on the Samarim Torah, they assert their worship is the true religion of the ancient Israelites prior to the Babylonian exile. And this is very true. Preserved by those who remained in the land as opposed to Judaism, which they assert is related but altered and an amended religion. Once again, very true. Because they brought back with them, when they returned from Babylonian exile, they brought back a different religion to what it was before they went into exile. And as I said, this of course is true. They are descendants living today according to the original Torah, but they've hidden it from their Arab brothers and sisters. There are many people in the West Bank of Israel, the original Shomron, where Yehuda and Shomron was originally based, and the original Shomron, there are Samaritans there today, but they're known as Arabs, but observe the Torah, that are exactly as it was before the Babylonian Talmud was introduced. And they are still in existence to this very day. And as we know, with the return of the Israelites from Babylon, they changed the days of the months, they changed the time of the day, they changed so much, and they brought in all these extra things that they've got to do that aren't in the Torah, with hand washing and everything else. And they were the people that Yeshua, the Pharisees of Yeshua, spoke against when he walked on this earth. Ancestrally, Semarim claimed descent from the Israel tribes of Ephraim and Menashe, the two sons of Yosef, the son of Yaakov, as well as the priestly tribe of Levi, who have links to ancient Samaria from the period of their entry into the land of Canaan. Semarim used to include a line of Binyamin tribe, but it went extinct during the decline period of the Sumerian demographics. So enough of the Sumerians and back to Philip. After the festival of Shavuot, where men from all different countries came to Jerusalem to worship Yehovah for the festival, the Ruach HaKodesh called Philip to a Gentile. The angel of Yehovah in scripture is often Yeshua, coming to the people. And he told Philip to join himself to the chariot. He was told, make a connection and stay with them. We find this story in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 35. And there's three slides here. An angel of Yehovah said to Philip, get up and go southward on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Azar, the desert road. He got up and went, and on his way he caught sight of an Ethiopian, a eunuch who was a minister in charge of the treasure of the Candake, or Queen of Ethiopia. He had been to Jerusalem to worship, and now, as he was returning home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the prophet Yeshayahu. The Ruach said to Philip, go over to this chariot and stay close to it. And as Philip ran up, he heard the Ethiopian reading from Yeshayahu the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? He asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. And he invited Philip to climb up and sit with him. Now the portion of the Tanakh he was reading was this. He was like a sheep led to be slaughtered, like a lamb silent before the shearer. He does not open his mouth. He was humiliated and denied justice. Who will tell about his descendants, since his life has been taken from the earth? The eunuch said to Philip, here's my question to you. Is the prophet talking about himself or someone else? Then Philip started to speak. Beginning with that passage, he went on to tell him the good news about Yeshua. Now we know that this scripture is speaking of a Torah observant follower of Yehovah's word because he'd just come from the temple. I don't believe he was a eunuch. I think that's part of English translation. Because a eunuch wouldn't have been allowed in the temple. He could have only stayed in the women's section. But he was returning from the temple after a Torah-based festival. He was Torah observant. He was called all followers of the Torah to come and worship at Shavuot. I also personally believe that the scripture that the believer from Cush or Ethiopia was reading was the same one Yeshua read in the temple from Yeshayahu, where he says in Luke 14:18 to 19, the Ruach of Yehovah is upon me because he anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom from the imprisoned and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who've been crushed and to proclaim a year of the favour of Yehovah. Can we allow the Ruach of Philip to touch us so that we can reach people that are not in our realm? You know, when that man of Yah was reading those scriptures, he was a man that was searching. He was searching for something. Whenever we go out to preach the gospel or speak to people or care about people about the gospel, they are people that Yehovah has already opened up their heart. They're already ripe for the picking. We just have to be the vessel that is used to speak to them. It's really important that we don't hold back. We must allow the Ruach of Philip to touch us so that we can reach out to the people that aren't in our realm. And that's not easy. Can we go to the undesirables in our community? Philip is the only Talmid of Yeshua who, after speaking with a believer in Elohim from Cush, brings him to a place of acknowledging Yeshua as the Messiah and desiring full immersion. Straight after doing that, Philip himself disappears from sight and is translated to the current city of Ashdod. This scripture just lights my heart that tells me he was translated to Ashdod. Because I know from the Ruach HaKodesh that when Yeshua returns, we can just walk out that door and we'll be with him. We don't have to go up in the air and come down again. There's nothing in scripture that tells us that we have to be caught up in the air. And as Malachi describes it, if two people are walking along and one's ahead of the other and you catch up with them, doesn't mean you're caught up in the air. You just catch up with them. If Yeshua's already here, we walk out the door and we'll be in his presence. Because if Philip can get translated, so can we. It's no different then as it will be when Yeshua returns. May it be soon. Can we now go to Acts chapter 8, verses 38 to 40? So, the Ethiopian ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip immersed him. When he came up from the water, the Ruach of Yehovah snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, because he continued on his way, full of joy. But Philip showed up at Ashdod and continued proclaiming the good news as he went through all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So if you desire the Ruach that was in Philip, your desire will not be just striving to be set apart or to be in this world but not of this world, but you'll start moving in the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh as Philip did. So I want to conclude with the spiritual gifts. Now these spiritual gifts are distinguished from other graces of the Ruach HaKodesh, such as the fruit of the Spirit and the seven gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh. The gifts of the Ruach are to be used for the benefit of others, while the fruit of the Ruach and other gifts result in personal sanctification. It is by your fruit that you are recognized before you are even operating in the gifts. The Ketuvei HaShelachim, or the writings of the apostles, or the New Testament, whatever you want to call it, contain several lists of spiritual gifts. Most are authored by Shaul. While each list is unique, there is definitely an overlap. So can I have that one up, please? Okay, so there's one from Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. And it starts with prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership and mercy. And we look at 1 Corinthians, that was written by Shaul. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, also written by Shaul, are words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now we believe in each and we operate in all of these. You may not have everyone, but you may operate in everyone over your lifetime. Then 1 Corinthians 12, 28 gives us apostles, prophet, teacher, miracles, kinds of healing, helps, administration, and tongues. As I said, they overlap. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. One of my favourites, apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And the last one, they were all from Shaul. And the last one is from Kepha. 1 Kepha 4:11 is whosoever speaks and whoever renders service. So each and every one of you will be operating in one gift or another. You might be operating in 4, 5, 6 of them. You may operate in some now and some later on. Don't be frightened to use the gifts. Don't be frightened to step out in faith and lay hands on the sick and see them healed. You know, it takes a trip to India to see that we can raise the dead. It takes a trip to India to watch a lame person walk, run without their stick. To see the milky white eyes that are blind to be opened up and to be shining bright, glistening brown. To see the people that are deaf, never spoken a word, children, speak for the first time. Malachi and I have been blessed in the ministries that we've done over the years and the things that we've been able to do and the churches we've planted. And by operating in faith and believing, we've seen it happen. It doesn't happen here in Australia as much. We've got medical doctors. People just don't have the faith. But you'll find that the people on the street have probably got more faith than the people sitting in churches. Purely and simply because they don't have the money to get the doctors. They don't have the money to get the things they need. But if you can speak to them and you get them and they believe, you get them immersed, you'll find that they'll operate in gifts that you couldn't believe. I mean, look at Bogdan walking around the place all the time. He's a mighty man of Yah. And he knows the scriptures so well. Yes, I know he's hard to understand when he speaks. But he's an amazing man. He's a very learned man. He's a very educated man. And he does an amazing job with what he does. Philip was operating in these gifts. From my research, latest stories about Philip's life can be found in a book called The Anonymous Acts of Philip. Probably written by a contemporary such as Eusebius. But this non-canonical book recounts the preaching and miracles of Philip. Following the resurrection of Yeshua, Philip was sent with his sister Mariam and Bartholomew to preach in Greece and Phrygia and in Syria. Included in the Acts of Philip is an appendix entitled Of the Journey of Philip the Apostle, from the 15th Act until the end, and among them the martyrdom. And as it says in the book, it recounts the preaching and the miracles of Philip, He would have to have been operating in the above gifts that I've just told you. If we want to operate in those same Ruachal gifts, we need to be operating through the Ruach HaKodesh. While we are not to expect the given to get every gift, even though they would be desirable, what we have to do is to allow Yehovah to give us the gift or gifts that are applicable to our natural character traits. I'm not an evangelist. Malachi is. That's why we work so well together. I can teach. I can heal the sick. I've got the gift of healing. I can do so many other things that Malachi can't do. I can't do anything to do with sound. Not a thing. I'm useless. But he's an evangelist and a great one. Some of the people he's brought home at times, I've had to say, honey, can you meet them in a restaurant, please, or in a cafe? But not to worry. He's done an awesome job. So our gifts are different, just like our experiences in life are different. And it's only our experiences in life that give us the ability to receive the gifts we receive. So when you get to our age, you'll probably get a lot more gifts. It takes time. But what we have to do is to allow Yehovah to give us those gifts that are applicable to us. There was definitely someone who went ahead of me and prepared the hearts and the soil of the hearts for people to be received when I've been on the street witnessing. But Malachi is so totally different. He can just walk up, get someone in his car when he's on a long drive. He's got them cornered. You can't get out, and he gives it to them all the way. Yehovah puts couples together for a reason, and I believe it's so that between them they can accomplish all Yah desires for our lives to be perfectly worked out. Where one is lacking in one gift, the other can pick up the slack in another. Yehovah's ways are pure and just, to fulfill all that he requires of us to do. Before I finish, I want to let you know that with Hanukkah coming up, during Hanukkah, for anyone who hasn't been immersed in full immersion, and as you know, we do it in running live water, not in a distilled, in a still water pond, but in running water in the Narang River. Anyone desiring to be immersed, we will get with you, work with you, and work out a time and a place and all of that sort of stuff with you before it happens. But Hanukkah will be here in less than 3 weeks. Actually, we actually have Hanukkah and Christmas at the same time this year. So let us pray. Abba Father, you know that it would be extremely rare for any of us to be operating in every one of these gifts. But you do give gifts that you want each of us to use at a specific time. Abba, I pray that you will give to each and every person here, as well as those listening online today and tomorrow, to this drasha, that you will give them the gifts of your Ruach that you desire for them to have. Abba, you know that those you are calling to become the receiver of your gifts. Give each person, Father, the opportunity to step out in faith to use the gifts you've bestowed on them. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, has anyone got any questions before we moved on to the... I knew that was happening. Come on. Don't be frightened.
Just a quick one on Rachel.
Raquel, yeah.
Yeah, so from what I can tell, she's a parable of Christianity in some aspects, in that when she was in a tent, which is a tabernacle, she was coveting idols in her chest. If she is she gave birth to Ephraim, Yeshua came for the lost sheep of Israel, so they
That's
become
right.
Ephraim.
That's right.
So Rachel's a parable of Christianity in these times, in their tent or their church, it's just full of idols and uncleanness, and she's coveting them.
And also, what did Yaakov say for anyone who was found with those idols?
Yeah, exactly.
What did he say? They would die.
Yeah, they would die. Yeah.
And what happened to Rachel on the way before they even got there?
Yeah, she died.
She died. So even though she hid them and she thought she'd got away with it, she hadn't. Yeah. And which was really sad, because she should have been truthful. But yes, she is, because of all the idol worship that's in Christianity. And that, of course, we know Christianity came from Catholicism. And it's full of idols. And then, of course, Catholicism branched off later on. But from... Mike, please. But the original Christianity came from Catholicism, which is wrapped in idols.
Early on your message, when Yeshua was speaking... the Pharisee didn't like what he was talking.
That's right.
And I've always, I've been thought about this many a time when I read that passage of scriptures, that he walked right through them. And I've always asked, has the Holy Spirit just applied the Pharisee? Because they would try to
The Pharisees
him.
Are your Judaism of today. When they came back from Babylon, as I said, the Samaritans kept the Torah exactly as it was before they were exiled into Babylon. They came back from Babylon with a Babylonian Talmud and a Babylonian way of thinking, a Babylonian way of life, and they changed everything. That the Pharisees of today, the Pharisees of Yeshua's day, were teaching against Torah. Okay?
Yeah, I understood that, but did the Holy Spirit blind the Pharisee because Yeshua walked right past them? When
it's like being translated.
Yeah.
Okay. They, when Philip could no longer, when the eunuch could no longer see Philip because he was translated to Ashdod. The same thing with Yeshua. They didn't like what he was saying because they were the Pharisees. They were against it because Yeshua was speaking to them because they weren't observing Torah. Now Torah, Yeshua is the Torah. Yeshua is the Word. He is the Word. And the Torah is a word that the center of Torah is Or. Or is light in Hebrew. So Yeshua is the light of the world. And they were against what he was doing. That's why they crucified him. And they were against what he was doing. They would have stoned him then and there. But the Ruach HaKodesh, as is today, has put seals over their eyes, stuffed up their ears, and he was just able to walk straight through.
Yeah, I sort of see that as he actually just walked through the people.
Like he did.
You couldn't touch him. Your hand would just pass straight through, like when he passed through a wall.
Yeah.
So rather than just sort
but
of evading
people. But he passed
through
the wall after he'd been...
Yeah, it says it walks through all the people. So no one could lay a hand on him at all.
No, I mean, he's the Messiah. He's the son of Yah, the living God. Yah, people could walk straight through him. He could walk straight through them. They couldn't touch him. I'd love to have lived in those days. But we will meet him one day. Are the Jews of today, the Jewish church of today, or synagogues of today, are the rabbis and the modern Pharisees, and they're still operating in that area. Hasn't changed, I'm afraid. I suppose when most of your family are operating in it, you see it more clearly. Let us go to the remembrance service.